Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Skincare with Friends.
Hello and welcome to Skincare with Friends with Nia Patton.
And Natalie.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, good. Well, no, I'm awful, but yeah, I'm all right.
That's such a woman's answer. I'm fine. Yeah. Everything's shit, but
everything's fine. Shit, but it's fine, you know. Oh, God.
Just tell us the truth. How are you?
Not great. I've had a cold for like 2 weeks. I lost my voice really badly.
It's come back. It's less Bonnie Tyler now than it was.
Yeah, it was quite sexy.
It was very sexy.
So no, didn't feel very sexy.
Well, it sounded it.
And then, yeah, it's if I try and do a high note, it just goes. I can't hit my usual Mariah Carey range.
So you are slightly Kathleen Turner still then.
Yeah.
In terms of vocal range.
Yeah.
You're still down there. There's nothing sexier than a deep voice on a woman.
No, I like that. Yeah, Bonnie Tyler. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, my daughter, the baby's ill. So she's awake in the night screeching.
Irie.
Yeah.
Oh, bless her.
And I got period pain, so...
It really sucks when you think you've, after 42 years on this planet, you think you've cracked periods and then all of a sudden one comes along and it really hurts you and you cry like a little tiny baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to get my 9-year-old to give me like little pats on the back.
Oh. Mommy's
hurting. But yeah, it's okay. I want to hear all about your facial in London.
Oh man. I just want to show you my face.
Wow.
Nothing would do it justice. Did you read? So I put a post on Instagram as to what the actual facial entailed. I had everything. I had IPL, microneedling, and a nice LED lamp on my face.
Whoa.
Plus the full facial and some extractions.
Oh my God.
And cryo ball sculpting.
Cryo ball sculpting.
That sounds like
bollocks though.
But that well, do you know what? I didn't feel like bollocks. It felt like an absolute.
Yeah, but it feels nice. Yeah.
I felt like I had a nice snatched jawline after I left the after I left the salon, and I just felt rich, like a rich lady, because it was in Belgravia, and I was in a postcode where I had no business being.
Yeah, how wonderful!
I had no business being in that part of Chelsea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like I was going to get carded and they were going to demand to look at my bank balance. And when they found out I did not drive a Porsche Cayman, I would have just been kicked back out.
Excuse me, somebody's let a hobo into Belgravia. Yes.
And she's a Welsh woman. It was really great. And I got a free cleanser as well, which is really delightful. Really, really nice cleanser by Teresa Tarmi as well. It was lush. It was just a lovely... experience, and also going to the perfumier as well was just
wonderful,
so gorgeous, really, really nice. And then Sally Hughes went in the next day.
You missed her.
I did say, and she messaged me back. I said, I think I would have fainted if I bumped into Sally Hughes. Sally Hughes is a Guardian columnist and makeup and skincare. Yeah.
She's from Wales, though. So
journalist.
She's
Welsh.
Right.
Yeah, she's Welsh speaking too, isn't she? You said.
Indeed, I am.
I thought you told me that.
Can't remember.
But anyway, it was beautiful, and I got a gorgeous scent, which is just lush. I can't stop smelling myself.
Oh.
So it was really. I went to a clean beauty trade show.
What was that like? What was
Guffaw.
That?
I didn't actually spend a whole lot of time there, if I'm totally honest. I wanted to look at packaging and how to, not packaging for my own products, but how to ideas when you're sending out, you know, products that aren't yours, basically.
Yeah.
So you know, I picked up a few. Contacts there, but really I didn't spend spent about 45 minutes at the train show. And then went and got my face seen to, and then ate a ton of my body weight in food at an Ottolenghi restaurant. Had a day cocktail and then fell asleep in my hotel.
Oh my God, that sounds really nice.
It was really nice, but I tell you what is really awful is the tube and just the amount that you sweat when you're on the tube.
It's a dirty old business, isn't it?
It is a dirty old business. And all I wanted to do, I was really crabby after I came off the tube because I was like, just had a facial, man. My face is just, don't touch my skin. And it just felt really wrong than polluting it. And all I wanted to do is just get on the train back to Wales where the air is clean.
Yeah. Did you get black bogies?
I did.
Yeah.
I washed my face a lot.
So
It was really rank. And I was saying to the facialist, I was like, how do you cope?
Yeah.
You know, because she was the same age as me and she was just like, honestly, my skin is really, really suffering. She said the past 3 years, it's been even worse in terms of like the air quality.
I remember when I went to Milan. And it was the dirtiest place I've ever been. It was absolutely disgusting.
What, just in terms of the air quality, you mean?
Air quality, yeah. It was like, there's obviously lots of stagnant water because it was infested with mosquitoes. I was eaten alive. Yeah. And
what time of the year were you there?
It was warm. Yeah, I guess it was summer.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it was summery.
It
was like 10 years ago now. But yeah, it was, and like you'd be walking along in trousers and then you take the trousers off and your legs would be black, like dirty. Ugh. Yeah. Just like, what the hell is this? It's just dirt and dust. It was, it was quite markedly more disgusting than London even. It was like, I don't like this place. I know it's harsh and that, but nah.
Got to play havoc with your skin though, isn't it? If you're living there. You know, my friend who's Taiwanese American lived in Taiwan for ages and subsequently moved to LA. And she was like, ironically, it was moving to Los Angeles that actually cleared up her skin. So that just tells you about the air quality in the part of Taiwan she was in. Because she really suffered. So yeah, it must make a huge difference. And that's why, you know, my facialist was saying, she just said, every day off I get out of this city. And so must most people, right? You just
go to
head for the country.
Yeah.
Or head for the sea. Mm. On that note, but not really on that note at all, what are we talking? Well, variants of it.
It's kind of, protecting yourself from things that are bad for your skin. I wanted to talk about ultraviolet A protection and what it does and how damaging it is. But I've had quite a long time to prepare for this podcast, so I've... Oh.
Yeah, and you really can tell by looking at Nia's transcript.
Stuff I sent you, oh my God, I'm sorry.
It does look like rocket science, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it's quite complicated, really. It is all quite complicated. There's no way around it. There's no way to simplify it.
This is why you say that formulating a sunscreen is no piece of piss.
No,
it's extremely difficult.
Yeah.
For reasons we're about to get into.
Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot of stuff that you've got to think about.
Yeah.
I can see why the ordinary one took so long to sort of, I don't know, jump through its hoops. And then I guess I can see why they didn't want to just do another one, because it must have been a pain in the ass to get that one to market.
And that one is, I hate it.
Well, yeah, it's awful.
In fact, I went round my friends today, so at about 11 o'clock. So I'd been for my run and had my normal sunscreen on, and then went to her house and we were sitting in the garden and I said, oh, do you mind if I just borrow your sunscreen? And she was like, yeah, it's the one you hate. Here we go. And
it was
the ordinary one. So I put it on and just forgot about it. And then went to drop Hayden and my daughter for the swimming pool. And he went, you look really, you look really ill. I said, oh, that's strange. I feel great. And then I'd forgotten that I'd put this stupid grey mask on, but I hadn't mixed it in properly. So it was a perfect circle where you could see my actual skin, my face. It's just so bad, isn't it? I'm always wowed about how awful it is and how much I really dislike it.
Yeah. Maybe it's a great, you know, it's a great product. Maybe it's really good at protecting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, sure. I'm not going to use it.
No.
And actually, sort of to help me research, I was listening to a really interesting podcast today. A chap called Brian Diffie talking about sunscreen. And he is the guy who invented the sort of UVA protection sort of labeling for Boots and for America.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So quite an important man, and his thoughts about sunscreen. And, you know, he was just like, the best sunscreen is the one you can wear. So
yes. Just
something that's comfortable so that you're not afraid to just put a lot on. There's no point in having something that you're only sort of dabbing on a little bit because it's so awful.
I mean, this is why I take sort of issue with the very expensive ones, especially ones that, you know, once you've had a treatment at, you know, your dermatologist or whoever you're going to see will sell you, I don't know. Is it the Abaji one that's like 120?
Yeah, it's really expensive.
SPF, and you just, you know, what's the point? You're going to dab that one on and it will be on your counter for a year, unless you live in Belgravia, in which case you will be going through it every 10 days.
I guess so. I bet they don't, though. I think
I don't think anyone does that.
No.
Pays that much for sunscreen.
No, you just wouldn't, would you? Just, because I've been posting videos on Instagram of me putting on sunscreen.
Yeah.
Of one of me putting on a HelioCare oil-free gel.
Oh, I saw it. Was that the one where you grimaced?
Yeah, it was so sticky. I go, bleh, I can't stand it. And people just say, why didn't you just use less? I'm like, aha, but you can't. No. And also the video before that, somebody said, you didn't use enough.
Yeah.
So like, I'm like, well, I can't win.
Yeah. So, okay. So the saying goes, I can't remember what it is in mils, but really the saying goes is that you apply a sunscreen down three fingers. So three full finger lengths of sunscreen.
Two, I was told, for your face. Yes. But face and neck, another
face
one.
Face and neck. Yeah.
Yeah.
So your neck, another one though. So it'd be two for the face, one for the neck, right?
Yeah. That's it.
So, but then, you know, people like Carolyn Hirons and others have said it's obviously totally dependent on where you live, though, as well. You know, up until today in Wales, it's glorious now.
Yeah.
So we are wearing the full lot. But obviously, I've not been wearing anything close to three on my face and neck the past few weeks.
And it's really fine not to. It's, you know, you don't need to. You know, you look at the UV index, and if it's three, then you sort of think about wearing sunscreen.
Yeah.
So it's not where we live, it's not that big a deal most of the time.
No.
No. And that's what this Brian Diffie was saying. You know, it's not something that you need to wear every single day for the whole year, he was saying.
Right.
Because I put sunscreen on as a matter of course if I'm going outside. For like anti-aging purposes, really.
Yeah.
And he was saying that you'll end up with, you know, brittle bones.
Yes.
You're not getting enough. You need, like in the winter, you need to think about just cutting the sunscreen out completely.
Right, okay.
You can get some vitamin D stored up for the winter.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I think just take some vitamin D tablets.
Okay.
Quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he was there, the interviewer was saying to him, well, like I just use it on my face because I don't want to get old. And he was like, yeah, but what do you care about more? Breaking your hip when you're an old lady or looking young? And I was like, looking young, obviously.
But aren't different parts of your body, isn't the skin going to just take that vitamin D from elsewhere, not the face? I mean, you're not, unless you're wearing like a full boiler suit.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You know, in the winter, you are likely to be covered, aren't you?
Yeah. Hands, wrists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scalp.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't have much of a, I got like crazy thick hair. you'll pick up some vitamin D from your hands, I'm sure. But
yeah, or take vitamin D tablet.
That was his point, and he was sort of pouring scorn on women being so vain that they'd risk their bone health.
Right.
So, yeah,
that's interesting. Interesting take from the man, Mr. Sunscreen himself.
Sir Sunscreen, the Castle of Sunscreen, yeah.
Brian D.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just check what that podcast was called, actually, because it's good to credit people where credit's due, because it was a nice podcast. Yeah, it was the Daria Rose podcast that
okay.
Brian Diffy was talking on. If you want to check that out, it's quite good, okay. actually. It was, yeah, good listen. Learned quite a lot. Another thing he was talking about was applying sunscreen. He said, don't rub it in too much.
Okay.
So you don't want to try and force it into your skin. You want it to be a film over the top of your skin.
Okay.
Just sitting there. So you just apply it. Yeah, it does. Apply it and it'll be sort of wet and you just let it sort of sink.
Just sink in. Okay.
Yeah, do its thing. So yeah, so that was good. A good source of information. So yeah, so focusing on ultraviolet A. So basically we've got the electromagnetic spectrum, which includes radio waves, microwaves, infrared, ultraviolet, X-ray, gamma rays. So it goes across from safe to less and less safe across this spectrum. And also visible light as well. That's between infrared and ultraviolet.
Okay.
So basically the bigger the wave, the safer it is.
Okay.
So as this electromagnetic wave gets smaller and smaller in wavelengths, it becomes more and more dangerous to human beings. Okay. So from radio, which is safe as houses, to, say, gamma rays, which will give you cancer, and X-rays.
Okay.
So ultraviolet is between these really safe things that we have around our home, like radio, infrared, which we use for our remote controls, invisible light, totally safe, well, pretty much, and then ultraviolet. So we're starting into cancer-causing territory in that bit of the spectrum. So we know that UVB is dangerous. There's also UVC, which would be super dangerous, but luckily it's completely filtered out by the ozone layer. So it doesn't
even
get to
us. Battered, damaged ozone layer, such as it is. Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, where the ozone layer is a bit bust, more UVB gets through over Australia. So they're getting more of it. But actually not that much UVB gets through the ozone layer.
Okay.
So, yeah. So the UVB is the range 290 to 320. UVA is 320-ish to 400 nanometers.
Mm-hmm.
So people originally thought that UVA was going to be pretty safe because it's sort of on the safer side of the spectrum.
Okay.
So sunscreens weren't really designed to protect against it.
I see.
So we know that UVB causes melanoma and it burns you. So it's obvious, it's visible cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
But UVA, we weren't so worried about it. Thought, well, yeah, it probably causes aging. But yeah, it wasn't thought of in sunscreen design so much.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, in the like 80s, being broad spectrum wasn't really a thing. It was all about stopping burning.
Okay.
Yeah. So, there was some studies into, I think it was hairless mice.
Hairless mice.
Hairless bloody mice, yeah. Yeah, they originally did some tests on melanoma-prone fish.
Okay.
But, they've debunked those experiments and actually it looks like UVA doesn't really cause melanoma at all. Yeah. So ultraviolet radiation comes from the sun and tanning beds, arc welders.
I loved that.
Yeah. You know, all these arc welders that we're using.
Brilliant.
But yeah, tanning beds, definitely. Bunch of bastards. I can't believe they're legal.
I know.
Yeah.
It's just a part of like, it's not even, I wouldn't even call it anything to do with the beauty industry, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just, no one's got around to regulating it, even though it poses the greatest risk.
Yeah.
It's so really strange. Weird. And it's not like politicians' pockets are being lined by big tanning bed industry. It's really odd.
Maybe
to me
it is. Of- yeah.
Well, perhaps, yeah.
Yeah, maybe yeah, it's big tan. That's sort of, I don't know.
Look for those really, really tanned donors that are giving money to our politicians. Very odd.
It's really weird, yeah. But yeah, we can all just jump on a tanning bed. My old dental nurse, my new dental nurse now has had a earful from me because she was going on the sunbeds.
As well?
Yeah.
How old is she?
She's like, I don't know, 21. Lovely, lovely, beautiful girl. And she was going on tanning beds. And I was like, no, stop it. You mustn't anymore. As long as I'm alive, you're not going on those things. Yeah.
Just use Isle of Paradise. There are some great fake tan, you know, and tan alternatives that are really great.
I know. Yeah. But, you know, fake tan smells and it's messy, isn't it? It's just easier to jump on a tanning bed. I can see why you would, but... Yeah, it's so risky. It's just not worth it. Yeah. Ugh, gross. So, yeah. Do you know why UVA... what do you know about UVA?
Not much.
Radiation, no. And I guess people don't.
No.
Really. I guess they don't I know it's so much.
One that, you know, causes... the vanity problems. So, you know, that's always been the way to distinguish it, isn't it? That UVB is the super serious one. And well, like our man on the podcast was saying, really, it's, you know, just vanity to worry about those effects. But it kind of isn't because there are other, you say it here, it's pretty insidious, isn't it? Still causes pretty, you know, almost irreversible damage to your skin.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So, and the other point is that it can get to you more. So because it's got a longer wavelength, it can pass through stuff. It passes straight through the ozone layer. So loads of it. So 20 times more UVA gets to us than UVB. It can go through clouds and windows.
Yep.
So, you know, we're not protected from it on a cloudy day or if you're indoors, really.
Yeah.
It makes up 95% of the radiation that gets to Earth from the sun.
Okay.
And it's present for more of the day. So it's not like UVB where, you know, you're just going to get it when the sun's highest. So it's getting to us at like from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m.
Yeah.
And for longer during the year as well. So, you know, there's more of it than UVB in September, October, that sort of thing. So you need to think about it for longer during the year, really.
Yeah, and the particularly really scary one, so I had no idea about this until I've been reading Nia's amazing transcript. But so you say here that that one of the negative effects is that it creates reactive oxygen species. And I was like, I don't know what that is. And so helpfully you tell me that they are unstable molecules.
Yes, so basically a reactive oxygen species is a molecule of water that's been hit by radiation, it knocks out an electron, and the water becomes a different molecule that needs a reaction. So it can go around bothering other molecules and trying to get a reaction out of them. So generally in the skin, there are natural antioxidants floating around mopping these up. Because it happens a lot. But if one of these reactive oxygen species hits DNA, that could be a problem. Or fibroblasts, so the cells that make collagen, it can damage those.
Okay.
Yeah, collagen molecules themselves. So these sort of slightly scary molecules can cause damage. Generally, the body can cope with them and we'll mop them up with their natural antioxidants. But, you know, the longer you're in UV radiation, the more of these oxygen species are produced, and the increased likelihood there is of something bad happening.
Okay.
And, you know, eventually long-term aging, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, and you don't feel that happening. There, you know, it's not like UVB where you get a warning sign of feeling hot or red.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a bit more sneaky. That's what happens. Mm. Yeah, and it can go deeper into the skin than UVB as well. UVB just sort of attacks the top layer of the epidermis, but UVA is sort of burrowing down into your deeper skin, slowly damaging the collagen, making you look like an old handbag.
Oh, no one wants that.
Yeah, I put on that. Everyone's seen the picture of the truck driver by now, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a poor man who everyone's seen, who was like driving a truck for 28 years with the window closed. And this face on the side next to the window is significantly older looking than the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love him.
Poor dude. He's just like, I'm sick of this now, you know?
Yeah. He probably wears the Phantom of the Opera mask or something.
Poor man. It's a really marked difference, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Mm. Yeah, it really is. So, you know, over time, UVA is making you look a bit older.
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely don't go on a sunbed, for God's sake.
Oh, for goodness sake, no.
Yeah.
That's a terrible idea. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And UVA is implicated in some cancers, like squamous cell cancer and basal cell cancer as well.
Okay.
So those are less life-threatening, but you still need to have them chopped out, which isn't
you
nice.
Do.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah. So, yeah, it's, I think, 15% of sunburn is caused by UVA. So it does cause a little bit of sunburn.
Okay.
Tiny bit. But UVB is the main sunburn causing thing. So there's also persistence, pigment darkening, sunspots, freckles. There's solar elastosis. Mm-hmm. So that's just like loss of elasticity where the UVA is damaging the elastin in your skin. So you're going to get a sort of classical crepey appearance to your face. There's something called actinic keratosis, which is sort of scaly patches. So you generally get this sort of sun-damaged appearance.
I'm going to look that up for pictures. I want to see what actinic keratosis looks like.
Little patches of scaly, looks like something you want to pick off.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and it also causes immunosuppression within the skin. I don't really know what that means.
Does it mean just puts you more at, so it kind of increases your risk of suffering from all types of skin conditions?
Yeah.
Oh, right. So. Okay. I can see what this looks like now. Okay. Not pleasant. Yeah. So it does look, they look like scabs.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like partially healed scabs.
Yeah. And you'll see it on like old men's noses and cheeks.
Definitely. And yes, you do. Oh my God. I've seen a really horrible one. Oh, Jesus Christ. It looks like a horn.
Yeah, you can get them turning into horns. Yeah.
Yeah, someone's got a horn under their head. Okay. Yeah. That's pretty unfortunate.
Yeah. And there's melasma as well.
Well, we know about that bastard, don't we?
Yeah, me and you. Our worst fear, the melasma coming back.
Our worst nightmare. Oh, mine is coming back.
Yeah, because you're off the hydroquinone. Yeah.
I'm off the hydroquinone and, just like that, my little patches under the eyes are coming back.
Are they?
It's crazy. Yeah, very quickly. Aww. Very, very quickly. It's really, like, quicker than usual.
Oh, bugger.
Yeah, but there we are.
Yeah.
You say it does cause a couple of types of cancer, but because it isn't the evil bastard that UVB is, it kind of has been largely ignored in sun care and in society.
yeah that's it. Yeah, so you know, like I've got work colleagues and I'll be like, oh, you were out in the sun. Oh yeah, I wore sunscreen. Like, I'm like, did you enough sunscreen? Did you top it up? I don't believe you. And they're like, oh, it's okay. I didn't burn. Okay. You know, feel like once you know all this stuff, it makes you feel a bit more cautious, doesn't it?
Oh, completely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you're saying, because obviously in our last podcast, we did talk a lot about people who were terrified of exposure to the sun and to light. And so we don't really want to be like that or tell you to be like that.
No, so absolutely not. Enjoy your life. Go to the park with your family. Don't worry about it. But, you know, find a way to live and be safe in the sun.
Yep.
Yeah.
How do we do that?
Good products, good sunscreens, quality sunscreens, reapplication of them, put them back on, put another layer on if you wiped your face or you're sweating. Mm-hmm. Also, just avoid, you know, bright sunshine if you can.
Yeah.
Wear a hat and clothes.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, obviously, talking about picking a good sunscreen, what are we looking for then in a perfect sunscreen?
Yeah. So, there's so much complication with this. So when you're thinking about UVA protection, this is particularly the advice of Brian Differs, Mr. Sunscreen himself.
Yeah.
And also, this is what I do anyway now, is choose a sunscreen with lots of different filters.
Okay.
So you kind of want chemical and inorganic. So you want zinc oxide and chemical filters in your product, really.
Mm-hmm.
Lots and lots of different sunscreen ingredients. The more, the better. So it's going to give you a broader range of protection. So I've put loads of graphs in the write-up, which isn't much help for a podcast listener, but basically sort of every sunscreen product and every sunscreen ingredient has a spectra. So this sort of curve over the graph. So the bottom axis is wavelengths and the top, the side axis is so the measurement of protection you get.
Okay.
So you want basically the graph to look sort of straight.
Okay.
You know, the line to be high up and straight across. So it's protecting you equally from all of the wavelengths of UV radiation. So, and I've put these graphs. So basically, zinc oxide is pretty good. It's got quite a long flat curve.
Okay.
Which tapers down towards the longer end of the UVA spectrum. So it's not great at, like, sort of, say, 360 to 400. It dips there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So zinc oxide is pretty good, but it's got a gap. And also, you can see that it depends on what, you know, it's not just like zinc oxide gives this graph. It depends on the size of the molecule.
Okay.
So, you know, nano zinc, micro zinc. Non-nano will give different levels of protection.
Right.
It's not as straightforward as I would have hoped everything would have been when I started researching this bloody thing.
But if it was that straightforward, every bloody skincare brand would have a sunscreen.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason that, you know.
That it's so hard to find a great sunscreen, isn't it?
Otherwise, absolutely.
Yeah, we wouldn't all be talking about it and comparing notes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, we've got now on the market newer sunscreen ingredients that are better. So we can see the Tinazorb absorption spectrum graph is more straight across.
Yes.
So there is some protection at the sort of longer wavelength.
Yeah.
And also UVB, it protects pretty well against that as well.
Right.
So Tinazorb looks like a great ingredient for your sunscreen.
Yep.
And also the other thing that these ingredients have got to do is be photostable. So some of these ingredients will break down in the presence of sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
And the more sunscreen ingredients you've got together, the more stable it's going to be.
Yeah.
They stabilize each other and work together.
Okay.
So, you know, like Altruist face fluid.
Mm-hmm.
It's got loads of different sunscreen ingredients in it.
Yeah.
Loads of filters. And they're sort of, you know, it's like a beautiful, it's a beautiful ingredients list if you start looking into it, because
mm-hmm.
they're all holding each other up and
right.
making sure that there's protection all across the spectrum.
And all of that, and yeah. cheapest chips.
Cheapest
as
chips,
well.
Yeah.
It really is, it's the perfect sunscreen.
It's great. You know, the only thing I don't like about it is it pills, so I can't wear it under makeup.
Right, okay.
Which, fine, whatever. I just wear it when I'm not wearing makeup, you know.
Okay.
Like this whole sort of reapplication thing. I just, like, if I'm going to be outside with my family in the park or on the beach or something,
yeah,
I just don't wear foundation so that I can put more layers of sunscreen on.
Yeah.
That's the way I do it. You just got to find your own way, haven't you, of, like...
Yes. Yeah.
Dealing with it and sorting it. Yeah, the makeup reapplication thing is a bit of a pain in the neck.
Oh, it is, but I just rather keep my face out of the sun if it's going to be an issue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not often it is an issue, really, I don't think.
So no.
At a wedding.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a pain because you might be outside for quite a long time.
Yeah, I tend to. If I am out for a long time and I really need to reapply and I've got makeup on, it won't not budge the makeup, but I find it the least disruptive is just the sun stick.
Yeah.
You know,
silicone-y stick things. Yeah.
Silicone-y stick, yeah, and it's great.
Yeah.
You know, for me.
I did try the Garnier Ombre Solaire Over Makeup Spray. It's like an aerosol can. And that was good, actually. It was fine.
Was it?
Yeah.
I always think do you know how much you need to put on, though, in order to get that level of protection? That's quite tricky, isn't it, with an aerosol?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you can't spread it around if you're putting it on top of makeup. So it's not going to be even.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, in a pinch, in certain situations, it might be the only thing you can do.
Yeah.
But it's not a situation that I'm ever in, really.
No.
Having to wear a full face of makeup and be outside all day.
Be able to said.
No. Yeah.
Ooh. Can't remember
but
the
maybe,
last time.
You know, maybe other people have lifestyles of which they are at barbecues.
Yeah.
All day long.
Barbecues in full makeup.
Yeah. You know, the full makeup barbecues.
I must go to this barbecue wedding and be outside all day. Actually,
I don't know. You live in California. Lives are different in California.
There was a Q&A with a skincare. It might have been Karen Hirons. It was someone did a Q&A and they said, what is the best sunscreen to wear for a bride underneath the makeup? And the person was, and this is a very, very, very pro sunscreen person answering the question.
Yeah.
She said, I really wouldn't wear any. Just don't wear any. The photography is going to look terrible.
Yep.
The pictures, you're just, the flashback you get from pictures when you're wearing sunscreen is very, you'll just look like a shiny marble. And you don't want that on your wedding day. So that's the one day where you can fuck out.
Yeah.
The sunscreen is on your wedding.
Yeah. That's it. Have a beautiful parasol. A gorgeous white lace parasol that you take with you.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Yeah.
A nice Tuscan wedding, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'd really like that.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Off topic of parasols, let's get back.
Yeah. So, and you know, I read lots of studies and there's just one comment in the study that I was just like, yeah, that's good. That's sort of explaining the sort of background of making a sunscreen. So this is in a study by Perotta in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
The development of sunscreens brings along many technical and toxicological issues which stem from the requirement of having contrasting ingredients for opposite needs within the same formula. Good spreadability is in contrast with water resistance, and the proper level of filters is in contrast with the quality of the texture and solvents needed for product stability. Once a potential solution is found for these issues, the development process of a new product is usually further complicated by marketing and regulatory issues. Many useful and practical and, in fact, safe ingredients cannot be used due to a bad reputation they have in web-based blogs or forums. Yes. Yeah. Or simply because there has been scaremongering, which leads the developer to avoid parabens, alumina, and nano ingredients. Mm-hmm. The other side of the coin is the burden of the regulations that classify sunscreens in very different ways in different areas of the world.
Right.
Yeah. So I thought that was really useful to get an insight into the difficulties these companies are having.
Absolute nightmare. And that's the thing, you know, if you were an international, brand that wanted to create a product that could ship everywhere, it'd be just a bloody nightmare, wouldn't
it'd be awful. Yeah, it would be really hard, and that's what the ordinary were trying to do. So yeah, fair play.
And then so you go on to say then that obviously there's a lack of consistency then in the way that all these different countries legislate their sunscreens. America being quite behind, right, in terms of FDA approving certain newer ingredients. So because the concerns around UVA are relatively new, there is no consensus on the best way to convey levels of UVA protection to consumers. No. So some countries do better than others. So after the recent Purito scandal, you do feel less happy trusting companies and more keen to understand the UVA protection measurements so you can confidently pick a product that gives good reputation.
Yeah.
I agree, but then it doesn't put me off Purito.
No, you've got a new thingy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And how did they get away with that? Is there no independent testing of products?
There was. It wasn't them. It was the KFDA. It was the Korean FDA that messed it up. So they obviously tested it themselves. That was wrong. Got it wrong, but thought it was right. And then I guess the Korean FDA also did it and said, yeah, it's fine, everything's great. And then it was just marketed. And it ended up, I think, a sunscreen with a UVB protection of 50 was actually more like 19 or something like that.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, because, there's different ways of testing it as well. Some techniques are lab-based and they use a piece of acrylic to see how much UVA can get through from one side to the other. And I think lots of countries do in vivo testing, which means on human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they'll burn someone's back with a UV lamp to see how much UV it took.
Okay.
And then on the other side of their back, they'll put some sunscreen, shine the UV light, and then, that makes up the measurement of how long you could stay in the sun with that sunscreen on. Mm-hmm. And they do it on 20 people.
Whoa.
Yeah. And that's...
They just burn 20 people's backs.
They burn 20 people's backs. I don't know how much these people are getting paid.
Oh, man. I mean, I've burnt my own back for free for about 20 years. So,
I know. It's really that's how it's done. So it's only 20 people, and apparently the results always vary wildly from person to person. So, one person can have the SPF at 15, and the next person, the SPF is 35. So this is all guesswork. It's all, and this is, this is what Brian Diffie was saying. It's we don't use this as much sunscreen as we're supposed to, because it would be awful to do so.
Yeah,
it would be really unpleasant. You'd look weird. Why would you want to live your life like that? And also, the measurement is not 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's an average of the SPFs across several people. So, you might be the person who gets more SPF from a product, but use less. So, it's all very variable, and you're not getting what it says on the packet, but the SPF and the UVA, P SPF, protection factor, just gives you an idea where the product sits on the spectrum. So, you know, if you choose an SPF 50 plus, then you're getting the strongest product, but you're probably not getting that level of protection because you're not going to be using that much of it, which is why, you know, people relying on whatever's in their moisturizer isn't going to be enough. Mm-hmm. Because it's not even a sunscreen. It's not saying it's a sunscreen. It's just got a bit of protection in it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had Neostrata one on my face yesterday. It was really pleasant.
Oh, was it the sheer physical protection?
I don't know. They did my facial put it on for me before I left. Can't remember. Mm. Felt lovely. It's a
slightly tinted one. Quite thin. Is it that one?
No, it wasn't tinted.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I'll find out.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Yeah. Don't rely on your moisturizer to give you sun protection.
No, no, indeed. So I don't know if we're going to get all of the rest of this into one podcast.
There is quite
another four pages.
Okay, well, why don't we go, let me see, where would be a good sort of conclusion for part one? Have a look. So we go into critical wavelength, doodly-doo.
Start talking about critical wavelength. So, yeah, there's just different ways of measuring how well a product protects against UVA. Mm-hmm. So critical wavelength is defined as the wavelength at which 90% of the formula's UV absorption occurs. So it's that graph that I was telling you about where, like, you know, how well it protects across the spectrum.
Okay.
So 370 is quite far across the spectrum because it goes to from 290 to 400. So 370 is quite far along. So if it's protecting up to 370, it's probably got a good broad spectrum to it. So that's one of the ways
that
we can assess. And then this one, it did my Sweden. It's either UVAPF or PPDPF.
Okay.
And they're often used interchangeably. So it's basically UVA protection factor or persistent pigment darkening protection factor.
Okay. So that's the ability of the sunscreen to protect against darkening of the skin. So basically, if you have melasma, this
might be a measure that you're interested in, yeah.
Yes, it's definitely a measure that I am now interested in.
Yes. And quite a lot of the European sunscreens will give you a specific number for PPD.
Will they? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Like Altruist Face Fluid, like all of the factor 50s from Altruist are 54 PPD.
Okay.
Which is really high.
That's very high. Okay.
So
good.
16 is seen as like a decent number.
Wow. Okay.
So if the PPD is 16, it takes 16 times longer to tan after contact with UVA.
Okay.
So you can spend 16 times more time in the sun without worrying about tanning and darkening of the skin.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I think UVAPF or PPDPF depends on how it's measured. I think UVAPF is if it's done in the laboratory, measuring the amount. I couldn't find an easy way of figuring out what exactly it meant and which countries used which one. I don't know if it matters even, but they're not quite the same. UVAPF and PPDPF are not quite the same. I got really bogged down in it. There's probably absolutely no reason for anyone else to get bogged down in it.
Yes. Don't do it to yourselves. Nia has, and she suffered.
Yeah. And the other one that's quite often seen is the UVB to UVF protection ratio. So because UVB is more risky, this measure assures that there is a balance of protection. Quite often it's 3-1 that the product's trying to get.
Okay.
So 3 times more protection to UVB than to UVA.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe we should just stop here. Not stop here, but...
Yeah, not forever.
Not delve into it anymore because, the listeners probably their ears have just sealed over with boredom right now.
You've just got to put some really fun jingles.
Yeah. I don't know, what could we do to make it more entertaining? Some jokes.
Yeah. Did you, like, the best thing ever when the last podcast on the left, which is near and our favourite podcast apart from this one, and when they go into very, 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 very dark subject matter, and I think they did an incredible, and I think it was a three-part series on Joseph Mengele, Nazi war criminal. Dark. I mean, it was just horrendous. And to lighten the mood, they would stop every 15 to 20 minutes and read out facts about
tool time.
Which was, what was tool time?
A program on.
It was
a fictional program on a sitcom. Home Improvement. Starring, yeah.
Home Improvement.
Tim, what was his face?
Tim Allen.
So
they just do Home
could do joke facts. Time. We're gonna bore you in a minute. Here's some graphs that you can't see. I'm gonna tell you a joke. Can I tell you my favorite joke?
The only one I remember.
Why does the baker have brown hands?
I don't know.
Because he needed a poo.
Oh God. Oh. This is what happens when you hang around your children for too long. You start to find their humour hilarious.
Oh, it's just totally my humour. It's stupid. But yeah, I think that's...
I think this could even be three parts, perhaps.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because I'd like to come up... Yeah, we could do a little jolly one in the middle of reading out stupid stuff, because that was absolutely. I loved that podcast. That was my favorite for a long time.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, and I'd like to sort of, because it took me so long to figure out all this stuff about UVAPF, I haven't like got a list of amazing UVA products, because I know people on Reddit have really put some time into putting tables of these things mm-hmm. together, of like sunscreens with really high PPD scores and reviews of them, that sort of thing.
So I really want the studies of those people who've written those guides to also then have their vitamin D measured as well, taken. And then I'd like a study to be conducted to see if the people who are obsessive. yeah. To see if they really are okay or they have bendy bones.
Yeah,
we don't want anyone to have
falling
bones.
To pieces as soon as they sit down.
Yeah, we don't want that for anybody.
No, no, we don't. But if we're going to have a jolly time in the sun, I want to choose a sunscreen which is going to do the best job and be nice to wear. Mm-hmm. So knowing about these sunscreens is useful. But yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. You know. Like, maybe it would be quite good to have a winter sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
So UVB is the thing that causes vitamin D production in skin. So it's not UVA. So you could have a lower SPF for the winter, which has a broad spectrum.
Yes. Yeah. So your broad spectrum ceases to be 2/3 UVB to UVA in the winter.
It would almost be nice to have a more of a UVA protection for the winter.
Get on it then, Nia. You're not doing anything else. You're not busy.
Oh, yeah. I'm really loads of spare time.
So just crack on. Yeah. You've got a little shed thing in the garden. Just get on with it.
Yeah, it's full of paint, but yeah, I'll get
You'll
in my
shed.
You'll
be like Doc from Back to the Future.
I will not.
Running around going 1.21 gigawatts.
I wish I could be that productive.
I watched that with my daughter the other day. It was lush.
It's a good film.
Isn't it mad, like, the hold that Michael J. Fox had on everyone in the 80s? Because he was such a puny little guy, yet
I was so in love with him. But I think it's because he looked like a boy.
Yeah.
He looked my age. When I was 12.
Like a massive crush on Michael J.
And he was always walking backwards.
What?
So he's like skipping about. He was so devil may care.
Oh, with his electric guitar. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. No, I was totally in love with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My first crush was B.A. Baracus.
I know. I was thinking about that today. That's very cool. Yeah.
Mm. I loved him for a long time. Long, long time.
Oh, yeah. I think my real first crush was Superman. It's a bit isn't it?
No, it's not bad at all. I think definitely he was a crush for a while, and then Dan Aykroyd overtook him in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but mine was so Bill Murray.
Oh, of course.
I'm still in love with Bill Murray.
Yeah, why not? And and actually, they've both aged unproblematically.
Yeah.
Chevy Chase is a bit of a dick.
I don't know if Bill Murray is completely unproblematic. I think he's got problems.
Possibly a bit of a tit, but you know, he hasn't come out and been like a massive asshole about anything.
Necrophiliac or anything.
That would be, I'd draw the line there.
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
Oh, because you're thinking of, you've been watching the Jimmy Savile.
Jimmy Savile, yeah.
Obviously.
That necrophile. Yeah.
Oh,
of all of the necrophiles we know.
Oh, just hideous. People outside of the UK who haven't heard of him. I mean, count yourselves lucky.
You've got to watch that the Jimmy Savile documentary if you don't know who he is. It's the most, like, just the most successful paedophile of our time.
Yes.
Just, bar none. He really nailed it.
Just facilitated by everybody.
Yeah.
Including all of the BBC for decades.
And Prince Charles was writing to him for advice.
Yeah, not that shocking, really. Yeah.
Like, how do you do so well at... Well, yeah, like, you know...
I need to speak to the common man.
Yeah, how do I get around it?
Yeah,
but yeah, he watching it, he set up his whole life was set up to... Yeah, he groomed us all. I always thought he was incredibly creepy. I found him incredibly creepy. I didn't understand why anyone liked him, because his face was creepy.
He did have a creepy face, but he was also Jim will fix it. So I didn't care. I wanted to be on Jim will fix it.
Can you imagine a better thing for a paedophile to do?
Yeah. No, I can't. Wow.
He can make children's dreams come true.
Yeah.
Anything they want can happen.
Pretty grim, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, so that's enough of that. We started talking about our first crushes and it just went really dark.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, I don't ever want to think about him and crushes in the same mouthful.
No.
Blech.
Let's not.
No. So we're kind of geared up to do another podcast about UVA.
Soon. Oh yes, definitely.
It's all written down, and maybe I'll just put together a little list of good products. But yeah, everyone, like, posting about sunscreen on Instagram has been quite eye opening, because I'm like, this is sticky as fuck. How can anyone wear it? And somebody goes, that's my favorite sunscreen.
Like, yeah.
Oh, what? Why? I don't get it. So one man's trash is another man's treasure. You just got to find the thing that you can wear and enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So we'll get into that.
Yeah, I really like the dermatology one I've been using. It's lovely.
Cool. But
really,
it's American.
Nice.
Is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so American sunscreen, which we're going to tell you about later, is a bit shit.
Yeah, they don't have all the cool stuff, do they?
They don't have cool stuff, no. And they don't assess it astringently either.
No.
No. Cool.
Which is silly. But yeah, we'll get on to that.
We'll get on to that. So we will. Cool.
Okay.
Wicked. So, I've got to say, apparently we've got to say these things. Follow us, like us, subscribe, leave a good review. Please do that, though. I mean, I hate to ask, but could you, though, please?
Yeah, it would mean the world to us.
Yeah.
And to Nia, who does all of this research.
Yeah. We don't get paid anything. We don't make any money.
No.
Not a penny. Yeah, let's see where our listeners are this week.
Oh, I love this bit.
Yay. Ooh. Chicago.
Cool.
San Jose.
Nice.
And Oviedo. Oviedo?
Where is that?
America. They're all in America.
Well, I know the other two.
I've never heard of that. Florida.
Yes, it's a city in Florida.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks. Thank you. It's in Seminole County.
Oh.
But that doesn't we do have a lovely listener in Florida who has a salon.
Yes, we do. Yeah, she's lovely. Michelle, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's you, hi, Michelle. We love you. Yeah. You're great. Yeah, okay. Thank you so much. Thank you, Tania, for doing all of this incredible research.
No worries.
Enjoy
some Easter eggs. Have some fun.
Oh, happy long weekend, everyone in the UK, yay, by the way.
Yeah.
This is the 4 days where we just eat Easter eggs and forget what day it is. I thought it was Thursday too.
I don't eat Easter eggs. I eat crisps instead.
So enjoy your Easter crisps.
I will.
I ate a whole packet of them
into an egg shape.
Okay. I ate a whole packet of Walker's Sensations poppadoms, but not the party size.
Nice.
Yeah.
They're only no calories. Like no calories in those.
I didn't stop to consider this. Just opened the packet and went just tipped my head back. Yeah. It was really, really tasty. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Well, happy Easter, everyone, if you celebrate
it. Happy Easter.
Bye, guys.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.